last week, so that's 40 that have been saved. Let's get our Bibles open now. First John chapter 3. Take your Bibles and turn there just a minute with me. Somebody besides you don't have a Bible, share yours with them. I'm going to do a little Bible study tonight. I don't usually just preach on Wednesday night. We'll just teach the Bible and take a subject or a lesson or a character or a doctrine or something like that and teach it. And that's what we'll be doing tonight. Now we're going to be talking about the subject that you hear a lot about nowadays, but you don't see much of, and that's love. The world talks about love all the time, but they don't know much about it, you know it. There's not a whole lot of real love in the world tonight. And when you hear the definition that I'm going to give to the word love, you will agree with me. Now the Bible talks a lot about love. It's in there over 400 times in the Bible, the word love. 400 times. Think about that. I mean, that's a book that thick and mentions the word love 400 times. Probably the most famous three words in the world are I love you, right? When a person expresses love. Meaning is a lot different, as I said, than the meaning that the world gives it. And here in the book of 1 John, the Bible talks a lot about love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. See it? It said, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Now, look way on over there at chapter 4 and verse 7. What you laughing at? I did too. I did, you just wasn't listening. I said, plain as day, 2:11. See, if you knew your Bible, you'd know which verse I was reading. I was thinking about something else. You know what I was thinking about when I was reading that verse? O.J. Simpson. No kidding, that's what I was thinking about. That's okay, I didn't say it. You want me to just tell you about O.J. Simpson for a minute? O.J. Simpson did not have love in his heart like he should. He had threatened, and I'm not saying he's guilty, but I sure ain't saying he ain't. You know, it looks real, real bad, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon to prove his innocence. They're going to have a hard time doing that. But he'd made the statement before to this Nicole, his ex-wife, or whatever she was, that if he couldn't have her, nobody else would. And things like that. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about tonight. That's not love. Real love don't say, "If I can't have you, nobody else will. I'll kill you." That's a person that talks to a person like that don't love them. They love their self. And if they can't get the self-gratification they want, they just don't want nobody else to have it. Right? Now, the world's attitude toward love is what? We've seen this week, this is a perfect example, this O.J. Simpson story, of how when the world likes somebody, he gets every benefit of a doubt. And I think the man, you know, I'm not saying he's guilty, and I'm not saying he should have a fair trial, and I'm not judging him. But have you noticed this week in the papers and on the news and everything, how that there's just this mighty wave of uproar about the press talking about the evidence against O.J. Simpson? And they're saying it's not right, you're accusing him, you shouldn't say nothing bad about him until all the evidence is in and it has been examined. You should not tell anything negative about O.J. Simpson because you're creating the impression in people's mind that he is guilty before he's been to trial, and that's not right. Now, nobody said that when Jim Baker was being crucified by the media. Amen? And I'm not justifying Jim Baker. What Jim Baker done was wrong. But when the news media come out and says, "Jim Baker had an affair, Jim Baker ripped people off, Jim Baker did that," everybody said, "Kill him, crucify him, crucify him." But now when it's O.J. Simpson and the media says this and this and this, everybody says, now, let's don't judge. So what they are is they're a bunch of hypocrites. They don't practice what they preach. What's good for Jim Baker is good for O.J. Simpson. And what's good for the goose, good for the gander, they say. Let me put it to you this way. If O.J. Simpson had been murdered, see, just imagine in your mind. If O.J. Simpson had been murdered and there was a wicked murderer who was maybe a drug addict or something in Los Angeles, and this wicked murderer fled the scene of the crime and was 90 miles away in a Ford Bronco, do you honestly think that the police would have... They call that a chase, see? They call that a chase. They went 45 miles an hour. And they call that a chase. That was hilarious. And he was driving along, just cruising along. He was calling the shots. He was telling them what to do. He was setting the rules. He was doing everything. If O.J. Simpson had been murdered, if it had been the other way around, they'd have said, hey, pull over, buddy. And what if he kills himself? Let him kill himself. Pull over. But see, when you like somebody, it's all different. And that's where we're messed up in America. I think people should be treated fair, alike, equal. Just because you're popular or famous or well-known, you don't get no slack cut to you. If you break the law, you break the law. And so the world knows very little about real love tonight. Let's talk first of all about what is love. What is love? Since you couldn't even find the Bible verses, I'll just have to tell them to you. What is love? What is love? Well, they say love is a fabric that never fades, no matter how many times it's washed in the waters of adversity and grief. This is the world's definition of love. Age is like love. It cannot be hidden. Love is the glue that cements friendship. Love's the glue that holds people together. Love is sharing a part of yourself with other people. This is all the world's definition. Love is more easily demonstrated than defined. Love is something that makes you feel funny and act foolish. I guess that's true in a lot of cases. But according to the Bible tonight, according to the Bible, what is love? In the Bible tonight, what is love? And they've been trying to figure out in soap operas for years what love is. Somebody say, I'm in love. How do you know? I just know. Well, what does it feel like? It's a feeling that I feel when I feel like I've never felt before. How do you know it's love? I'm not sure, but I think it is. Now, the Bible tells you what love is. The Bible tells you what love is. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible tells you exactly what love is. See it? Herein is love. Herein is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what love is. According to the Bible tonight, real love is God manifesting His love toward us as sinners, allowing His Son to be beaten and mocked and crucified and nailed on a cross in the place of me and for my sins. That's what love is. That's what love is. That's pure. That's undefiled, unconditional love. Have you ever noticed the world's love is always got a selfish motive in mind? The world's love is, well, yeah, I love you, but if you don't do this and that, you know, I'll cut you off or something like that. Here's the Lord. The Lord looks down and says, I love you. We look back and say, I don't love you. And the Lord said, I love you and I'm going to prove it. And my Son is going to come down and die on a cross and let Him put nails in His hands and feet and let the blood run down an old rugged cross just for you to take your place on the cross where it's you should be, but my Son's going to do it for you and you don't do nothing in return. That's love. That's love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loves us. Love, listen to me. Love, here's why you know if you love somebody. Love is when you desire the very best for that person. Their health, their future, and the willing to do anything you can to secure it. One more time. Love is when you desire the very best for that person. Their health, their welfare, what the best life can give them, and you'll do it, willing to do anything you can to make it happen. Here's not love. Boyfriend to girlfriend. Well, I love you. And I'll tell you what, if you break up with me, I'll go and tell everything that you've ever done wrong, and I'll tell your mama, and I'm going to do everything I can to make you miserable because I love you, and I can't stand it without you. See, that is not love. That's a spoiled brat who ain't getting his way. Now, here's love. She says, but I don't love you. And he says, well, I love you. She says, well, I'm sorry, I don't love you. He says, well, I love you. And if that's what you want, of course, they all say that, but they're trying to trick you, you know. I mean, if a guy says it and means it, if he says it and means it, man, that guy loves you. If a guy says, hey, I'd rather you be married to somebody else and be happy and be one and all of that kind of stuff, man, that's some genuine love there. 999 out of 1,000 ain't going to say that. They just say, get out of here. I don't want to see you no more. But real love says, hey, if you love me back, it don't matter. I still love you. And if something else makes you happier than me, go for it. And I'll be praying for you. And God bless you. That's God's love. That's God's love. That's God's love. And there's a lot of marriages. There's a lot of young people get married wrongly because they don't have enough guts to be honest and face up to each other like that. They don't talk it all out. You know, I didn't mean to get off on LS, but for all you single, a lot of our young people aren't here tonight, but before you ever get married to somebody, you better sit down and talk honest. I mean, let's put all the cards on the table, and not literally, that's just an illustration. Tell it. Say, listen, I want to know what's what. I want to know where we stand. I want to know how this is. Don't hold back. No secrets. No surprises for after we're married, and then you'll find out after I've done snagged you. None of that kind of stuff. Real love says, hey, what you see is what you get. Faults and all, see? This is it, man. I'm not putting on an act. This is me. Faults and all. Bad temper, bad breath, bad habits, bad everything. If you want me, here I am. If you don't, let's get it over with right now. That's what real love does. In other words, love is exactly the opposite of what every movie star and singer says that it is, and surely the rock and roll crowd. Rock and roll singers see a pretty girl walking down the street and say, oh, I love you, baby. Does he love her? Who's he love? Self. You know, you got that, teenagers? He don't love her. He loves himself. If a boy loves a girl, he wants what best for her. By the way, if he really loves you, he won't try to get you to sin before you're married. Because he won't want to mess up your life. Do you love? That's what real love is. Now let's talk about where does love come from? Where does real love come from? If you really want real love comes from God. It cannot come from the devil. Look at 1 John chapter 4 again. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If a man don't love, he don't know God, for God is love. It doesn't say love is God. It says God is love. Make sure you get it right there. Now, look here what the book says. Here, that's what real love really is. God is love. So if you don't have God, you don't have love. I'm going to make a statement that a lot of you may not agree with, but I've got Scripture to back up what I'm saying. A person who don't know God don't know what real love is. And I've got Scripture to back that up. The Bible said, he that knoweth not God, loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And if there's no God in your life, there's no love. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that two lost people can love each other? That's a tricky kind of a question, ain't it? I mean, I reckon they can. I reckon two lost people can fall in love. I knew people that fell in love and got married when they was lost and really did love each other. But that still is not God's love. You can't know God's love, you get saved. Is that your stomach growling, somebody? I don't know what that is. Have no idea. You don't know real love until you get saved. You know a kind of an artificial love, and I believe people can really love each other before they get saved. But that's artificial. It's not deep. It's not giving. It's not caring. It's not sacrificial. It's kind of a superficial kind of love. Real love can't come from the devil. I didn't really know what love is till I got saved. There's always a selfish motive involved, usually. If you'll be honest with me, before you got saved, you loved your wife or you loved your kids, but usually it's kind of a selfish kind of love. Your plans and your wishes are kind of at the bottom of it all, and you kind of want everything to kind of pan out to your benefit, if you'd really be honest. But God is love. No God, no love. God loves you. Out in the world, people say, I love you, and they mean I'm interested in you for what you can do for me. But the loneliest place in the world is the human heart when there's no real love there. You'd be better off to have real love in your heart and be poor than to be rich and not have nobody that loves you or love somebody with God's love. Now let's talk for a minute about what will love do for you. What will love do for you? All right, number one, real love will cause you to be loyal to that person or that thing, God, whatever it is, even when they're not around. And that makes love the most powerful force in the world. Now here's these guys out here maybe working for the correctional department. And they're out here working on the side of the highway, cutting weeds and stuff. And you know why they're doing that? Because there's this guy standing over here with a gun. And this guy's standing here with a gun. And that gun is the force that's making them do that work and straighten up. If that guy took a break and went off and said, I'll be back after a while, about 2 hours, fellas. Wonder how many of them would just keep right on working and right on doing their thing, you know, faithfully. You know why they're doing it? They're not doing it of love, right? They're only doing it when the guard's watching. If you take a kid, boy, here's mama coming in the room. Boy, I better clean up my room. I better get on my homework and all that. As soon as mama's out the door, throw the homework aside, turn the TV on, turn on the stereo, do all that. Well, you know, the only force making them do that is mama and daddy. Same thing, you have that going on in a lot of churches tonight. What you got going on in a lot of churches tonight is that the preacher has preached on a bunch of stuff and said, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, and has people scared that if he sees them or he finds out about it, but just as soon as the preacher's gone or they go off on vacation or they go to that, they do completely opposite of what the preacher does. You know why that is? It's because they're not doing it because they love God. They're doing it just because the preacher's got them scared, which means no reward at the judgment, which means it's in vain. It's a waste of time. I know churches where the preacher died, the crowd wouldn't have a lick of religion. I know some wouldn't have any convictions if the preacher died or moved away. Do you know what? I hope and pray that I can preach and so live that'll make you fall in love with the Lord so that if I died, you'd carry right on and read your Bible and pray. And don't do it just on account of me. Do it because you love the Lord. By the way, that's what makes you happy. When you're doing it because you love the Lord, you're happy. When you're doing it because you're afraid of what a man's going to say about you, you're miserable. Amen? If all you got is just rubbed off convictions off of the preacher, and you're saying, boy, I better not do this because brother so-and-so finds out about it, he'll think bad of me. You're a miserable Christian. You're a miserable Christian. Get it from God. Do what you do because you love the Lord. Now, we ought to worry about what people think about us. I'm not saying that's not important. I mean, we should be. It should matter to us. But I want to tell you something. When it comes right down to it, if I can't live my life right when you're not around, I ain't much living my life right when you are around. If I ain't living for God when you ain't looking, then it ain't doing me no good to live for God when you are looking. Right? If you can't live for the Lord when Brother Danny ain't seeing you, it ain't doing you much good to live for the Lord when Brother Danny is seeing you. Would anybody in here be happy if your wife only was faithful to you when you was around her? Would you be happy with that? Would you be happy if you knew that every day when you went to work, your wife just went off and got drunk and run around with men and everything else? You'd say, what if you come in and she said, well, as long as you're here, I'm yours, baby. But as soon as you're gone, you'll never know the difference. Would you enjoy that? No, there ain't a man here to put up with that, are you? No way. You'd say, forget this, buddy. You ain't going to live like that and live with me. No way. I ain't sharing you with every man. So would you ladies put up with that? What if he says, honey, I love you, don't you worry about a thing. And as soon as he went to work, he chased every woman that ran up and down the aisle or at the factory or something like that. That'd be a miserable way to live, wouldn't it? That'd be a miserable way. You know what the problem is? The love ain't there. If he loves you, if he loves God, he's going to do right when you ain't looking. God's love will make you do right when the other person's not looking. Amen? Not just when the preacher comes along. Let me tell you something else real love will make you do. It'll give you willpower to overcome things that you could never do any other way. For example, have you ever tried to lose weight? Has anybody in here ever tried to, don't raise your hands. Has anybody in here ever tried to lose weight? You teenagers, you don't know or care. But I'm telling you, buddy, your day is coming. Your day is coming. You can go out tonight and eat 15 pieces of pizza at 11 o'clock tonight and not even have a bellyache and sleep like a baby. And tomorrow morning get up and eat bacon and eggs and gravy and then eat a big dinner and all eat my... You tell me, but your day is coming. Your day is coming. When you get about 22 or 23 and 24, something happens to you. Something, I don't know what it is. Food, it does something to you. And the more you just start going out this way. I can't. You slow down, you get fat, man. And you keep, listen, not eating is the hardest thing you ever tried to do in your life. Man, is it hard. When you're fasting, oh, it's tough, ain't it? Not eating. And they're always trying to figure out some way to lose weight. Exercise this, you know, this, that, slim fast, do this, do that, do that. All that stuff's all right. But watch this. If I go over here, ain't one way for me to get back over there. See, we're trying to find shortcuts. You just didn't even understand that, did you? You know how you get back down where you used to be? You got to go back down that road you came up. You know what makes you get big? Food, 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 food. You know what makes you get little? No food, no food, no food, no food. That's right. That's right. Amen. It's simple as that. People say, oh, I just don't know how to lose weight. I tell you, don't eat nothing, son. I'll guarantee you you'll lose weight. I promise you, you will. You will, you will, you will. You say, well, I went 3 hours without it. I didn't lose a pound. No, I'm talking days. I mean, one meal a day for a couple of months. It's hard. That's hard. And my heart goes out to anybody who tries to lose weight. My heart, boy, it just, because it's the hardest thing you ever tried to do in your life. But you know what will make you do it? Fall in love. That love gets in you, boy, and old what's his name, stings you real good. Cupid, whatever his name is. Son, you won't have no appetite. Ain't that wild? Love gives you willpower. There was a 78-year-old woman. She was a widow. She had smoked all of her life, smoked cigarettes. She is hooked bound. You hear a lot in the news nowadays about nicotine, the drug, and being addicted to it and stuff like that. And she wouldn't quit smoking. The preacher said, don't do it. She still smoked. The doctor said, don't do it. She still smoked. The doctor said, if you don't quit, you're going to die. She still smoked. 78 years old. Guess what happened? 78 years old. There's an old timer come along and made a pass at her. And her heart flipped. Really, she fell in love. And boy, you know, that's a blessing. See how old people fall in love like that. And they're sitting there talking. He said, I want to get married. She does too. She said, I do too. He said, well, I can't marry you. He said, I can't be around smoke, and I can't marry you if you don't quit smoking. She quit just like that. She couldn't quit for the preacher. She wouldn't quit for the doctor. She wouldn't quit for the Lord. But boy, when she loved that old fella, she dropped them things like a bad habit, boy. Just like that. Gone. I mean gone. Gone. Let me give you an example. When I first got saved, my hair was down here on my shoulder. That was one of the hardest things for me to do. And that sounds stupid now. To me, I'm ashamed to admit that I was that idiotic. Looked like a boy with any sense at all wouldn't want his hair down here in his face. Just go a wiping and a slopping and all the time. And it gets in your way and it takes you forever to get it dry. Man, I can't understand. I've heard these boys have long hair and they say, well, I like my hair long. No, you don't. You don't like it long. You think other people like it. That's why you wear it long. You think you're trying to impress somebody or get attention. And you think it makes you look cute. That's about the bottom line. Amen? Amen? A little weak there on that amen, but that's true. You know how these rock singers wear their hair like that? They think it makes them cute. It makes them look stupid. But you know, they got a different idea of what their terms are all messed up. But anyway, when I hear a preacher preach on long hair, I'd get mad. They'd say, get your hair cut. And I first got saved, I'd say, he's judging. He don't. How do we know that's... Well, how long is long? You ever heard that old excuse? How long is long? How do I know how long? Jesus, how long? Well, the Bible don't really mean that. If any man seem to be contentious, he has no right to judge me. And he said, the preacher would say, get that hair cut. And I'd say, I don't like that. I think they're smart alecks when they preach on that. And I wouldn't get it cut. And you know what made me get it cut? That's when I fell in love with the Lord. When I fell in love with the Lord, I said, well, who cares about that stupid hair? God, if you don't like it, I'll get rid of it. I wouldn't do it for the preacher. I wouldn't do it for the... Hey, and I want to tell you something. It wouldn't have done no good if I had them. I might have looked better, but my heart was still been rebellious, and it wouldn't have made me a bit more right with God. But boy, when I fell in love with the Lord, same way with rock music. Man, I didn't want to quit listening to my music. You kids that still listen to rock music, you know what your problem is? You just ain't fell in love with the Lord. It just ain't dawned on you what the Lord's done for you. And when it does, you'll grow up and quit listening to rock music. You will quit. You say, well, don't you believe you can really be right with the Lord and listen to rock music? You might be right 5 minutes, but not much longer than 5 minutes, because it saps it out of you. Just like popping a balloon, see? You pop it and go, pshhh. That's what it does to your spirituality. You cannot. You cannot love the Lord like you're supposed to and love rock and roll. It's impossible. That's like loving the Lord and the devil at the same time. And your problem is you just don't love. Well, I guarantee it. You get in a good Holy Ghost field service, maybe out to camp this summer or something, you get tore all to pieces, you get in the altar, you get crying, you just think, oh, Jesus, I love you for dying for me on the cross. That music will go. It'll go just like that. There's a boy last night brought me a shirt. I preached last night, a big old boy got saved. He brought me an Alice in Chains shirt up there. He'd snuck into camp. That's a rock group. And he said, here, I don't want this no more. We throwed it in a dumpster. And you know what it is? When you love the Lord, you don't have no problem quitting stuff you're supposed to quit. You don't have no problem with it. So really, our problem is, our problem boils down to we don't love the Lord like we should. That's my problem. That's your problem. When old Danny loves the Lord like he should, old Danny does what he's supposed to. I don't have to watch my watch and say, oh, well, have I prayed 10 minutes yet? You know, that type of thing. See, I want to. You be willing to do what the Lord wants you to do. Let me tell you something else love will do. Love don't keep a ledger of the sins of others. You don't keep a record on them. Okay, that's one. I remember that other thing you done about 6 months ago. All right, that does it. No more for you. I ain't having nothing else to do with you. Love covereth a multitude of sins. And if somebody in here has done you wrong and you've got your feelings hurt, you know what you need to do? You need just to ask the Lord to put love in your heart. You're not right with God. You're the one that's wrong. You say, well, they done me wrong. Well, they might have, but that's their problem. Your problem is not loving like you should. Because when you love somebody, you can forgive them just like that. Forgive them. You know what helps me? You know what helps me forgive people that do me wrong? It helps me to think about all that God's forgiven me for. And I think the Lord can forgive me of this. Surely I can forgive other people what they've done to me. All right, how do you get it? You say, you've got me convinced. I need love. Let me say this and I'm through. Get right with God and He'll fill your heart with love. Get right with God and He'll fill your heart with love. You be willing to surrender anything the Lord wants you to surrender in order to have His love. I know that I got saved. And one of the reasons I know I got saved is because after I got saved, I started loving everybody. And before then, I didn't. The Bible said in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You ever seen that little bumper sticker saying, said, I asked Jesus, do you love me? And He stretched out His hand and died. Showed Him His nailed hand. Well, that's true. We don't have to wonder if the Lord loves us. He proved it when He died on the cross. We're the ones. Turn this on. We're the ones that we got to worry about. We're the ones that we got to be concerned about. Is our love what it should be toward the Lord and toward each other? Let's bow our heads for prayer.